Praise God. Up here is our Charter Day poster, where people that were the charter members signed that poster. And you can find your name, some of you can find your name right up here on that poster. We're going to be taking that over to the community center, and I'll be reading that Charter Day declaration. Anniversaries. A couple was celebrating their golden wedding anniversary. Their domestic tranquility had long been the talk of the town. A local newspaper reporter was inquiring as to their secret of a long and happy marriage. "Well, it dates back to our honeymoon," explained the husband. "We visited the Grand Canyon and took a trip down to the bottom of the canyon by pack mule. We hadn't gone too far when my wife's mule stumbled. My wife quietly said, 'That's once.' We proceeded a little farther when the mule stumbled again. Once again, my wife said quietly, 'That's twice.' We hadn't gone half a mile when the mule stumbled again a third time. My wife took out a pistol out of her pocket and shot the mule right between the eyes. Well, I started to protest over her treatment of the mule. 'You shouldn't treat that mule that way.' She looked at me and quietly said, 'That's once.' We haven't had any problems ever since that day." The dictionary defines celebrate: to observe a day or an event with ceremonies of respect, festivity, or rejoicing, to rejoice in or have special festivities to mark a happy day or a happy event. To celebrate. And as I thought about celebrating today, I thought, you know what? The world knows how to celebrate. I mean, they want to celebrate everything. A professional sports team wins a championship, and they close down the city streets and have a parade, and people cheer, and people get excited. I mean, we don't know too much about that here in Northeast Ohio. But next May, when the Cavs win the NBA championship, you watch how they celebrate. Amen? Person wins the presidential election. They have the inauguration and the inaugurational balls and the parties, and they party all night long. They celebrate. Or on New Year's Eve, the world celebrates and people watch the ball come down in Times Square, and everybody's counting down, you know, 10, 9, and they're celebrating and jumping around and going crazy. And the world's always looking for some reason to celebrate. And then I thought of Christians. You know, Christians sometimes, I don't know if we sometimes have a hard time celebrating, knowing how to celebrate. We can't celebrate like the world does. We don't go out drinking. We don't get drunk and make a fool of ourselves, do we? We don't celebrate like that. But we of all people should know how to celebrate, because we have reason to celebrate. Amen. We have reason, always have a reason to celebrate. And this morning is a great day of celebration, a great day of celebration. And I want you to take your Bibles. We want to look at celebration today. Open to Psalm 105. 105, as we look at a psalm of celebration. And this psalm was written by David, and it's a psalm that was written to celebrate. And I would like to read now, just read verses 1 through 15, as we look at today at just at the concept of celebration. Psalm 105, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. sing to him, sing praises to him, speak of all his wonders, glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his wonders which he has done, his marvels and his judgments uttered by his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac. Then he confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion of your inheritance, when they were only a few men in number, very few, and strangers in it. And they wandered about from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people. He permitted no man to oppress them, and he reproved kings for their sakes. Do not touch my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. We're going to stop right there. But this is a psalm of celebration. And I want to first look at the occasion for celebration. And just note that there are times when not only is it appropriate for God's people to celebrate, but God wants his people to celebrate. In fact, in the Old Testament, God established feast days where people were commanded to go up to Jerusalem and celebrate, and celebrate. They were to set aside time to go and celebrate. Well, this psalm was first written by David and used in a celebration. And if you want to turn in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles 15, it tells us when he first used this psalm in celebration. It was, you remember that the Ark of the Covenant, which was a box. If you remember, some of you saw that movie, Harrison Ford, Raiders of the Lost Ark, and that box. That inside the box were the Ten Commandments. And they placed the rod of Aaron in that box. And they placed some of the manna in that box. And that box was where God, over that box, was where the presence of God dwelt. Well, this ark had been taken captive by the enemies. And now they're going to bring back that ark to its rightful place. They're going to bring back the ark to Jerusalem to dwell in a tent, to dwell in a tabernacle. And the first time they tried to bring that ark back, it ended in disaster. Do you remember the story? You remember how when they tried to bring it back, they came and they didn't do it the right way. David had right intentions, but his methods were wrong. And it ended in failure. You know, I thought about that when it comes to celebration. You know, when we celebrate, we might have right intentions, but boy, I'll tell you, you better celebrate in the right way. You know, we don't celebrate the way the world celebrates. We celebrate. How are we to celebrate? They had to bring back that ark according to what God said in his word. And when we celebrate this afternoon, or when you celebrate any occasion, you better celebrate according to the word of God. You should celebrate. You say, well, how do I know if I'm celebrating according to the word of God? I'll tell you how you can know. Would you invite Jesus to your celebration? Would you feel comfortable with that? Hey, come on, Jesus. We're going to celebrate Jesus. Come on out with us. The guys are going out. We're going to celebrate. Would you take Jesus along with you? If not, your methods aren't right. And their celebration, their bringing back the ark the first time, ended in failure. But David's now determined to bring back the ark again. And in chapter 15 of 1 Chronicles, you know what he does? He prepares for the celebration. He prepares for the celebration. And to bring back, this time he makes sure that not only the intention is right, but the means of bringing back the ark line up with God's word, line up with God's word. He appoints Levites to carry the ark. The priests and the Levites consecrate themselves to bring up the ark of God of Israel. And look at 1 Chronicles 15:15. It states, the sons of the Levites carried the ark of God on their shoulders with the poles thereon, as Moses had commanded according to the word of the Lord. David also spoke to the Levites and commanded them to appoint singers and musicians to raise sounds of joy. And here it is, to celebrate the bringing back of the ark. As they were going along, the singers were singing. The musicians were playing. They were shouting like we shouted this morning. There were loud horns, there were trumpets, there were loud sounding cymbals, there were harps, there were lyres. David was leaping and jumping around and dancing. And look down in verse 29 of chapter 15. It says he was celebrating as the ark was brought into Jerusalem to the city of David. He was celebrating and just really just celebrating and just giving glory to God. And then in chapter 16, down in verse 4, it says he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord, even to celebrate. Do you see it? Celebrate and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. And then down in verse 7 of chapter 16, then on that day, David first assigned Asaph and his relatives to give thanks to the Lord. And this is when David wrote the words of Psalm 105, verses 1 through 12. You can see them starting right in verse 8 of chapter 16 of 1 Chronicles. He wrote those words. He wrote those words to be used in this celebration. Now you can go back to Psalm 105. But what do we learn from this? Folks, we learned that there are times when it is appropriate, it is even right for God's people to celebrate. It was right for David to celebrate the return of the ark and God's presence among his people. And it is appropriate for us today to be in a spirit of celebration, to be in a spirit of celebration here in this church, to celebrate the anniversary of the church. You know, we celebrate anniversaries, don't we? Men, don't we celebrate anniversaries? Amen. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. There was a man who was talking to his friend about what to do for his 50th wedding anniversary. And the friend asked, well, what did you do on your 25th anniversary? He said, I took my wife to Hawaii. The friend asked, well, what are you thinking of doing on your 50th? He said, well, I was thinking of bringing her back. You know, when it comes to anniversaries, we celebrate. And this is the anniversary of our church. Not our church, Christ Church, here at Faith Bible Fellowship. And you know what? It is appropriate to celebrate. And we should not allow the world, folks, we should not allow the world to outdo us in celebration. We should not allow the world. But you know what? If we celebrate, I'll tell you, people that saw us, what we were doing at the beginning of this service, or people that'll see how we're going to celebrate over at the community center, you know what some of them will do? Just what Michael did when David was celebrating. Remember David celebrating? He was dancing. Some of you Baptists, he was dancing. Leaping before the Lord. And you know what Michael said? You're nuts. You're making a fool yourself. I'm not going to tell you to go up to the stadium today. I want you to be at the community center. But sometime watch him in the dog pound. You ever see those guys in the dog pound? Dressed up with dog masks? With bones through their head? Dog bones tied around their neck? And you know, some of those same folks will watch the Christian and say, you Christians are crazy. I can't believe how you act. You get excited about God. You get excited about the Browns. I mean, come on! have. I'll tell you what. Let not the world outdo us. Let not the dog pound outdo us. I'm not, don't come with mass. But man, we got this appropriate time to celebrate. And I'll tell you what, today is an appropriate day to celebrate. Now, secondly, there's an occasion to celebrate. But secondly, there's reasons to celebrate. There's reasons to celebrate. And let me say this. First of all, Christians always have reason to celebrate. Always. We don't have to win the Super Bowl. We don't. We don't have to invent some holiday, sweetest day, to celebrate. We don't have to do that. We always have reason to celebrate. Well, what can we celebrate? Number one, we can celebrate God. Amen? We can celebrate God, who He is, who He is. He is a personal God. Praise God that we have someone to thank. See the verse, first verse of Psalm 105? What does it say? What's the first phrase? Oh, give thanks to the Lord. I'll tell you what, we have somebody to give thanks to. He's a personal God. We have somebody to thank. I feel sorry for the atheist on a day like this. Don't you? I mean, he has no one, she has no one to thank for the beautiful sunrise this morning. Like, there's a story about a woman named Harriet Martineau who was an atheist. One morning, she and a Christian friend stepped outside into the glories of a beautiful fall morning. As Harriet saw the brilliant sun peeking through the haze, the frost on the meadow, and the brilliantly colored leaves making their way lazily to the ground, she was so filled with the beauty and burst forth with, "I am so thankful! I just am so grateful for it all!" And her Christian friend then asked, "Grateful to whom, my dear?" Don't you feel sorry for the atheist when you look out there? I'll tell you, I come to church every day last week. The rainy days was a little bit harder, but I come out and get out of my car and just go over and look at those trees. Those are my trees, by the way. I claim those trees. They're my trees. And I just say, God, thank you, God. Wow. He's a personal God we can give thanks to. And we can be thankful that He's personal. I'm ministering to a man right now, or trying to share Christ with a man. And I don't think he's here today. He's Hindu. He doesn't have a personal God. His God is cosmic energy. I feel sorry. He sent me pictures of the trees in Northeast Ohio. But who can you say thanks to for those? You didn't have anybody thank. But we do. Praise God. Praise God. We can celebrate God. He is personal. He is personal. He's not only personal, because He's personal, we can call on His name. We can pray to Him and He speaks to us. We can celebrate God because He's a compassionate God. He's a caring God. He's not a God of the deist, who created the universe and went on vacation. You see verse 1, He's among His people. He's here. You see, the God of the deist is out there someplace. He created it all and stirred it all up and then left. We don't have a God like that. God is personal, and He's Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there. Jehovah who is here. He's Emmanuel. What? God with us. Celebrate. Celebrate. He's not only like that, but He's intimately involved in the affairs, and we can celebrate His holiness. Do you see verse 2? Glory in His holy name. His holiness is His beauty. He is omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing. He is all-merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness and truth. He is a faithful God who enters covenant with His people, verses 8 through 11. He's a promise-keeping God. God is someone to be celebrated just for being Him. David, in expanded version of this over in chapter 16 of 1 Chronicles, says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." I'll tell you what, the Christian always has something to celebrate. We can celebrate God. But there's something else. Not only do we celebrate God for who He is, but we celebrate God for what He's done. And He's done great things. Do you see? Look what it says down here. Look at verse 5. This is what we got to do today. See, what's the first word in verse 5 of 105? Remember. Remember. Remember His wonders which He has done, His marvels and the judgments uttered by His mouth. Remember. And folks, in verses 8 through 45, that's what the psalmist does. This is a historical psalm because he remembers back to what God had done. Now, we're not going to read that, but let me summarize what he says here. He says God graciously chose them. God graciously entered into covenant with them and gave them promises in verses 8 and 9. God graciously protected them, verses 12 and through 15. God graciously and providentially cared for them, verses 16 through 24. God graciously delivered them from bondage in Egypt, verses 25 through 36. And finally, God graciously and miraculously provided for them and blessed them, verses 36. 37 through 45. Look at verses 37 through 45. I want to read those. Look what God did for them. He then brought them out with silver and gold, and among His tribes there was not one who stumbled. Egypt was glad that they departed. Boy, Egypt was glad to get rid of them. For the dread of them had fallen upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to illuminate by night. They asked and He brought forth quail and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock and water flowed out and ran in dry places like a river. For He remembered His holy word with Abraham His servant. And He brought forth His people with joy, His chosen ones with joyful shout. He gave them also lands of the nations that they might take possession of the fruit of the people's labor, so that they might keep the statutes and observe His laws. And the last phrase is what? Say it loud. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He said, listen, remember. And you know what? Think of what He did for the Jews. And now I just want you to remember something. What He's done for you if you're a Christian. Do you know what He did for us? Same thing He's done for them. He chose us. When did He choose you? Before the foundations of the world. Isn't that amazing? If you're a Christian, you have been chosen. And you know what else He did? Just like He did with the Jews, He's given us His covenant. It's called the New Covenant. And all His promises and all the promises of God in Christ are yes. And He's protected us. And He's guided us. And He's providentially cared for us. And you know, in some in our lives, we've seen times when waters come out of flint rock to make provision. We've seen manna come down. You say, well, do we really? We've seen God's provision in our lives. Amen? If you're a Christian, you've seen God's provision. And He's done for us all these things. Celebrate. Celebrate what He's done. Remember. And you know what? I've thought about, just the last month, I've been thinking about what He's done over 25 years in this church. And you know what, folks? It's what it says here in 5. It's wonders. It's marvels. What He's done in this church. Some of the things that came to mind, he took 21 people that first decided that God was calling them to start a new church. 21. You see down in verse 12 and 13, and when they were only a few men in number, very few, and they were strangers in it. We were strangers down on Grant Street, actually on Broadway. Down at the Greyhound bus station. We were strangers. Few in number. Few in number. And it says, and they wandered, verse 13, from nation to nation. We wandered from the bus station to the Summit County Medical Building, over to Akron Christian School, over to Talmadge Grange Hall, the bunker. We were wondering what was going on. We were wondering all over the place. But what God has done, what has God done? He got us this building in 1986. We came here in 1987, we purchased the building. God said to many of us when we walked through the doors, this is where I'm going to plant you. I remember walking down the steps. I'll never forget, I walked down the steps, and as I was going down the steps, God said, this is where you're going to be. Down to the bottom of the steps. And he said, one day, this will make a beautiful church basement. That's what he said. That's what I heard in my heart. And I'll tell you what, how God, in just 2 years, that building was paid off. And then God built this structure here. But what has God done? What has God done? I'll tell you, over those years, he has allowed us to support 40 to 50 missionaries here in the United States and around the world. He has, right now we have 20 missionaries or mission organizations that we support as a church. Right now, by his grace, we give 25% of our budget to missions. Folks, I'm not bragging on us. I'm bragging on him. Because that, you know what that is? I'm going to tell you what that is. It's grace. It's grace. It's not we're so good. God is good. It's grace. What has he done? He's allowed us to build 10 churches overseas. 10 churches. The Markapar Town Church in India. The Prasanna Miklag Church in Nepal. The Throng Train Church in Vietnam. The Jok Moistung Church in Cambodia. Faith Bible Fellowship South in the Philippines. The Christian Life Center in Zimbabwe, the Kijiji Church in Tanzania, the Igorkov Church in Russia, the Siaoku Church in China, and most recently the CMP Church in Peru. That's Carapa Maranatha Peru Church. 10 churches! 9 of those churches have committed to start 5 other churches. So we may have, and I don't know, I followed up on some, but and some have done that. We may have influenced 40 to 50 churches around the world. Grace. God. Grace. That's what it is. We sent 540 Bibles in rice sacks into North Korea. How many North Koreans that never had the word would tear out a page, and that was precious to them? How many souls were saved through those Bibles? This little church, we are few in number, but we've got a big God. Grace. I'm going to tell you, we could go on and on. How many people were saved in the church? We have people here. They're saved, baptized here at the church. How many people were here at the church and went out from this church and are ministering in other churches? You'll see a lot of them this afternoon. But praise God. The word goes out. And you know what? It's all reason to do what? Celebrate. And to say the last words of this chapter, what are they? Class, what are they? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that God has let us go along for the ride. Used to be down at the bus station, forget the bus, and just leave the driving to Jesus. That was Esley Patch. I'll tell you what, he's let us go along for the ride. Forget the bus. Just leave the driving to Jesus and let him go. And I'll tell you what, he does great things. And he's done great things. We always have reason to celebrate because of who he is and because of what he's done. Praise the Lord. Watch him work. Watch him work. Now, thirdly and lastly, we have an occasion to celebrate. We have reason to celebrate. And here, this is important, folks, the expressions of celebration, the expressions of celebration. I believe this is important because we don't have any good examples of how a Christian celebrates in the world. Don't turn on your television on New Year's Eve and say, oh, that's how Christians supposed to celebrate. It's not. Or watch how they celebrate at the inauguration ball. Oh, that's how we... It's not. That's how the world celebrates. That's not how a Christian celebrates, but I'll tell you what, we can celebrate. How do we do it? I'm going to go through this real quickly. Just eight expressions of celebration. First of all, number one, give thanks to the Lord. That's verse one. Give thanks to the Lord. Psalm 100 and verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name, before the Lord is good. Thanksgiving. Thank him. Thank him over and over and over again in the Psalms. It says, thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he's good. Be sure today, take some time and just say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you, Lord, for your church. Thank you, Lord, for this person in the church that blessed my heart. I give thanks to you, Lord. Secondly, call on his name. Another way to celebrate is call on his name. Pray. He delights to reveal himself through answered prayer. We were here at 7 o'clock in the morning, and the comment was, Pastor Les, how many prayer answers have we seen in this church over the years? I remember Pauline Harless, who met with me for 10 years, three times a week, 40 days in the fall, in the spring, and a lot of times 30 days in the fall, we'd get down on knees and pray. She said, do you realize how many prayer answers we've seen in the first 5 years? She said, I started listing them, and she showed me 8 pages, both sides of prayer answers. Praise God. Celebrate. Pray. Call on his name. Thirdly, make known his deeds among the people. Go tell someone what God has done. Broadcast the great deeds of the Lord. When you celebrate the Lord, make it loud. You can be as loud as you want this afternoon. You're allowed to get loud in celebration of Jesus. You come with a dog mask, we're not letting you in. But get loud. You can celebrate. Make known his deeds. 4, sing to him. Verse 2, sing praises to him. Our celebration at the community center, we're going to have our first minister of music. Gary LaFollette's going to be there, Lord willing. And I'll tell you what, Gary's going to be leading us in praise and worship. It'll be a little different than some of you are used to. But I'll tell you what, we're going to praise God. You say, but Pastor, you sing. I can't sing. Can you make a joyful noise? Amen? I'll tell you, the most beautiful song I ever heard sung was in a church and up in State College, Pennsylvania, in a Christian Missionary Alliance church. We were having communion. And unannounced, unplanned, I'd say 85 to 90-year-old gentleman stood up, and he sang Amazing Grace. I'll tell you what, this guy couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. And he didn't hit one right note, and there wasn't one dry eye in the whole place. Because you know what he was doing? He was singing praises to God. That's the way to celebrate. Sing praises to the Lord. Doesn't matter what you sound like. If you can make a joyful noise, you can sing with Pastor Les. Amen. Number 5, speak his wonders. That could mean meditate on his wonders. Meditate and then speak. Rehearse the wonderful things that God has done. And then over 1,000 tongues to go out and speak his wonders. Number 6, glory or boast in his holy name. Verse 3, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boast in this, that he understands and knows me. That I'm a God of righteousness and justice and compassion. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. I'll tell you what, our boast is in who? Is in Jesus Christ. Amen? Our boast is in the cross. Our boast is in what God has done. Our boast is in the finished work of Christ. It is finished. Done. Celebrate. Amen? Amen. Rejoice and be glad. Verse 3. Choose to rejoice in the Lord. There's no greater joy than to know him and discover more and more about him. Oh, to experience him, and his joy is out of this world. No one can take that away from us, folks. No one can take Jesus away from us. Amen? I've got something that the world can't give and the world can't take it away. I've got something that the world can't give and the world can't take it away. I've got something that the world can't give and it keeps me day by day. I've got something worth talking about, makes me sing and it makes me shout. I've got something that the world can't give. The world can't take it away. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. That's a joyful noise. Praise God. I've got Christ. And I'll tell you, the world can't take that away. It can't take him away. We can rejoice and be glad in the Lord because I got pie in the sky by and by. But I got cake on my plate while I wait. And I'll tell you what, I have the Lord. He can't take it away. We've got someone to celebrate. We need to be happy as Christians. It's okay. And number eight and last, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. And this is what delights the Lord more than anything else, folks. That when we seek him, when we say with the psalmist, as the deer panteth for the water brook, so my soul longeth after thee, O Lord. I just can't get enough of you, Jesus. I can't get enough of you, Lord. I'm seeking you. I'm seeking your strength. I need your strength. But you know what? I'm seeking your face. I'm seeking an intimate relationship with you. And I'll tell you what, the joy that that brings. That's how a Christian celebrates, folks. That's how we celebrate. And you know what? When you celebrate like that, you don't wake up the next morning with a hangover. You see, the world, they celebrate and they have happy hour. Our celebration starts, it should start when we get saved, and it shouldn't end for all eternity. Amen? We've got someone to celebrate. We've got something to celebrate. We celebrate this like this. Our life becomes a continual celebration to God and his goodness. So folks, let's party. Let's celebrate. And all the people said the last words of this chapter. Let's say them together. Praise the Lord. Let's say it again. Praise the Lord. One more time. Praise the Lord. And celebrate him. Let's bow in prayer.